كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من مات على وصية مات على سبيل وسنة، ومات على تقى وشهادة، ومات مغفورا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, my beloved ustaz, Dr. Saifullah Tajuddin Saab, Dr. Hewitt Saab, my beloved brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the hadith it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help this deen through the sinners. One of the sinner is sitting in front of you to address you the kalam of Allah. I'm not fit to sit in front of you and the great ulama are sitting here. But when Muhammad Bai approached me to talk in front of you, I'm afraid that on day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask me, I gave you knowledge, even though it is little knowledge, what you did with this knowledge. Out of the fear for the day of Qiyamah, I'm addressing you. If I make any mistake, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min. A mu'min is a mirror for another mu'min. Kindly show me my mistake, and I'll improve upon that, and you get reward about it. The topic under discussion today is about inheritance. The law of inheritance is an extremely intricate subject. I can't finish that in 1 hour. You go to any varsity or any Darul Uloom, Molana will bear with me. You got to study it at least for 1 year, you study Siraji. After finish it 1 year, you go and do Iftar course, you further study in that. It's not a course that I can finish in 15 minutes, especially when I'm going to discuss it within the British legal system. But we'll try to give you the main part to consider so that you can ponder upon it and try to put into action one of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I go on the Sharia point of view, I can guarantee you that not more than 5% of the people sitting here have drafted their will. I can guarantee you that. The impact of that, according to British law, I'm not talking South African law, I'm talking British law, you have to pay 40%, up to 40% of whatever is above £255,000. In other words, if you have £1,255,000, your near rate bank, the minimum, the exemption, the government will allow you as an exemption not to pay tax on that, your estate duty, your tax liability, your death duty, up to £250,000. Above that, your £1,000,000, you got to pay £400,000 you got to give to the government. How have you prepared for that? The first problem is going to be a shock to your family after you die. They haven't got the cash. If you got a business, it's going to affect the cash flow of the business. This is how serious this matter is. Whereas if you go in the life of Sahaba Ikram, a Sahabi was passing away, he wanted to give everything in the path of Allah. Rasul of Allah told him no. He said three quarter. Rasul said no. He said half in the path of Allah. Rasul said no. He said one third. Rasul said one third. From that we see that it is incumbent upon us to make sure after our departure from this world that we cater for the material benefit of this ummah, of our family. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkatul Mukarrama, that time Kaaba was not built, what dua he made? Wallah, look after them and let people come look after them, made provision for their food. Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmullah in Ma'riful Quran mentions that before you go in the path of Allah, make sure that you have taken the responsibility of your family. Hukukul Ibad. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask us about it. What precaution have we taken for our family? Allah is a provider, no doubt about it. But these are the means. These are the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the food, the houses come to us. So if we don't pay attention to that, where our wife, where our children will get this 400,000 pounds? Today's time, people don't even draft a will. Besides the cash problem, if you don't have a will, if you are married, court married, according to British law, 50% of your estate goes to your wife, the rest to your children. That in itself is an infringement against the direct orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the light of the Quran, your wife is entitled to receive 1/8 if there are children of your estate. Here she's getting half. What face are we going to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? This wealth that Allah has given to us is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to be responsible on the day of Qiyamah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the matter becomes worse. If we are not court married, our wife are not even recognized, we'll have to go to court and fight on the common law ground to prove that she was your wife. We're complicating life for ourselves. This is how serious this matter is. It concerns everybody sitting here. And it is a direct injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. The Quran says, Kutiba alaykum, it has been made farz on you. Idha hadara ahadakum al-maut, when anybody of you, the death comes to you, in talaka khairan, if he leaves anything back, al-wasiyatu, he must make a wasiyah, a will, a testament. Lil-walidain wal-aqrabin, for his parents and those who are close, bil-ma'ruf, in a good way. Haqqan ala al-muttaqin, this is a due, it is an obligation on those who fear of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ, whoever changes this will, which has been drafted according to the law of Allah. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ سَمِعُ, after he has heard it. فَإِنَّمَا إِسْمُهُ, verily the sin of that. It is a grave sin. It is a heinous sin to change a will which has been drafted according to the law of Allah. فَإِنَّمَا إِسْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ, the sin of changing this. Today, brothers in Islam, from my little knowledge I've got from the legal practice, I can tell you, the law of inheritance of tearing apart brothers and sisters, of creating chaos in our society. I've seen big empires crumble down. One of the famous families of South Africa, which I'm not going to take the name, they were fighting, there was no will. The matter went to court. They pay 100 million rand estate duty tax, not estate duty tax. Because when it goes to court, brothers fight in court, all the uplak money comes. And all the records are there. And they hear the taxman coming by. 100 million rand, brothers. Why? Fail to draw a will. Like this, I can give you a compendium of lists. Great that families crumble down because a will has not been drafted according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobeying the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a repercussion. We suffer in this world itself. Don't have to wait for Qiyamah. This world itself becomes a Qiyamah for the children. The children start cursing the parents. For this reason, brothers in Islam, it's very, very important, at least for this world, before I go on the Sharia point of view, to keep in mind that we must take precaution. Make tax planning. Go to a solicitor. Like in Birmingham, there is Bailey Gibson. There is Association of Muslim Lawyers. There are brothers who are specializing in Islamic finance, like First Ethical Investment. Go to those people. Pay 100 rand, 200, 100 pounds, 200 pounds. Sort your problem in this world so that your children don't curse you after your death. Family are not torn apart. It is haram to fight. By we making one small mistake, this is what can happen. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Surah An-Nisa, after he has given you a full compendium, all the details of Islamic law of inheritance. This law of Islamic law of inheritance, it's so detailed, it's so sophisticated, it's so perfected that the great orientalist like Ramsey, like Coulson, I can give you a list of great scholars from the West, have said there is no system in the world can combat, can match the law of inheritance. Even Napoleon Bonaparte, when he went to Egypt, then only it clicked to his mind to codify the Napoleon Code after he learned from the Muslims. Yet, we turn an eye against it. What is the difference between the law of inheritance and salah? Both are the kalam of Allah.
both are the sifat of Allah. Both are directly revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On what basis? On what basis are we shedding, we are removing from our even our subconscious that we have to give account on the day of Qiyamah for the sadaqah for our state we are living? It is the word of Allah, not my word, neither your word, neither the word of Imam Bukhari, neither the word of Rasulullah. It is the word of Allah. To understand the word of Allah, let me give you a small waqiyah. 30 seconds. The Bani Israel, there was a prostitute passing by a well. I'm just summarizing it. Every of you knows this hadith. And what happened? A dog was on the verge to die. This prostitute sent her shoes, pull out the water, and fed that dog. What happened to her? Allah makes faisla of Jannah on that. Feeding a dog, Allah makes faisla of Jannah. To uphold the Quran, Allah is not going to make the faisla of Jannah. Impossible. What is far-fetched? That you, by signing your will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes faisla of Jannah for you. Yet, we treated something very lightly. Despite I have given you all the legal intricacies linked to the law of inheritance. For this reason, brothers in Islam, we must be very, very conscious about the law of inheritance. What is the meaning of inheritance? There are many definitions given by the fuqaha. The definition I'm giving to you is from Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni from his book Al-Miras. Why I'm quoting his definition? Because it is more convenient in today's time. And I want you to pay attention to the concept of miras. Understand that properly, the definition of inheritance. Because there will be many, many questions coming in your mind after my speech, which I will not be able to answer to you because of time constraint. But if you have understood this definition, inshallah al-Aziz, many confusion will be removed from your mind. It is a transfer of ownership. Listen properly. Very, 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 very important. It is a process through which there is a transfer of ownership of the deceased to his legal heirs, legal, I'm using the word legal, not every Tom, Dick and Harry, to his legal heirs who were alive at the time of his death. According to fiqh and arithmetic, and the state constitutes of corporeal assets like houses, incorporeal assets like cash, money, and intangible assets like royalties, franchise, copyrights, which you won't find in the Mutaqaddimin's definition. Today's time we talk of millions and billions of dollars in terms of intangible assets. This is why I have taken this definition. I repeat it. It is a transfer of the state of a deceased to his legal heirs who are alive at the time of his death, according to fiqh and arithmetic. And the state will comprise of corporeal assets, incorporeal assets, and intangible assets. Very important. Which means, and this is what is very, very important to understand, the moment you die, according to Sharia, by operation of law, ex lege, there will be an automatic transfer of ownership. It's no more yours. The moment the ruh leaves your body, this ownership by operation of the law of Allah is transferred to your son, to your wife, to your daughter, to your mother, to your father, etc. It's no more yours. For this reason, it's very, very important to pay attention to that, because the law of inheritance has been coined as half of ilm by the ulama. Why? Because it is such a law in Sharia that concerns you when you are alive, and even after your death, it concerns you. Even after your death, it concerns you. One of the reasons given. Rasulullah said, O you people, it is reported by Imam Tirmidhi rahmullah, O you people, acquire the law of inheritance, the knowledge of the law of inheritance. فَإِنِّي مَقْبُوز, verily I'm going to be called upon, Allah will call me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave such training to the Sahaba ikram, such training, that once Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, kadam Allah once, was on the mimbar, a person stood up, While the khutbah is going on, he gives him a calculation, an intricate question on miras, law of inheritance, instantaneously, on the minbar, while giving khutbah, Hazrat Ali gave the answer. This is the training given by Rasulullah to the Sahaba Kiram on the law of inheritance.
And see the jahalat reigning, the jahalat prevailing in the ummah. Ulama Kiram says, the law of inheritance will be the first ilm, will be the first science that will be taken away from this ummah. Because we are so careless about it. So this is the meaning of the law of inheritance, the concept of inheritance. According to Sharia, on what inheritance is based? For inheritance to take place, the sabab, the cause, to distribute an asset to the heirs, there are three causes. One is blood relationships. Very, very important. There must be a blood relationship between the deceased and the legal heirs. I'm keep on repeating the word legal heirs. The reason is, you don't have freedom of testation in Sharia. Freedom of testation is a secular concept where you are free to give your assets to whoever you want. You want to give it to your dog also, no problem. According to Sharia, you can't do that. It is highly regulated, highly sophisticated, who receive what. So, we don't have freedom of testation in Sharia. So, your blood relationship is highly, highly developed. Those who study the law of inheritance will understand the nearer you are to the deceased, the nearer, the more your chance to inherit. The second reason why you went to inherit is affinity. That is due to a marriage relationship. Your wife will get that. And the third one that doesn't concern us is manumission, freeing of slaves. We are not going to do that. For inheritance to take place, according to Islamic law, there must be three things. Shurut al-irth, the conditions that must exist for inheritance to take place. One thing, inheritance, not bequest. I'm going to explain it now. There's a difference between bequest and inheritance. First, there must be a deceased. If a person is not dying, you can't distribute his estate. So a person has died, you'll have to confirm his death. Like in South Africa, you get a death certificate from a doctor. I don't know what is the procedure here. Or a presumption of death. Somebody has gone in fight somewhere, Tora Bora or whatever. If you don't hear about his news, make news in Afghan news, you put CNN or so, make news. Nobody hears about him. 4 years, 5 years gone, what you do? You've got to take a presumption of death, a writ from the court, to declare him dead. You must have death. The second thing that must exist is the legal heirs. Who are the legal heirs? Who will inherit? And the third one, there must be an estate. Now again, the concept of estate in Sharia is different from the Western world. Interest received from the bank is a big issue. In Sharia, it's not even considered as an asset for the state. Life insurance policy is not a big amount of money, millions you're going to receive. Unfortunately, in Sharia, this is not going to be a form part of an estate. You have pawned a specific thing, guaranteed, a pawning. Because somebody got as a right on that, you are not going to put that in a state. So not everything will go in the state. There are very specific rules, what is termed as a state, a taraka in Arabic. So these are things you got to understand. And regarding the type of heirs, there are three types of heirs in Sharia. I'm just summarizing it for you, and then I'm going to go through the worlds. First is the Quranic heirs. That is, those people, those persons whose shares have been stipulated in the Quran. Should they inherit? I'm using the word, should they inherit? At times somebody is mentioned in the Quran, doesn't mean he's going to inherit. There are certain rules. Should they inherit, how much they're going to get? It is in the Quran. After you have given them their shares, the next one is the residuaries. Whatever is left over, how much they're going to get? And the third one is the uterine from the mother's side. Now, what is important is the way you devolve a state. And again, many times we find fight with the families. First thing that you're going to deduct from the taraka, from the state, is a kafan dafan. That is your funeral expenses. You can derive that. And it's very costly. The qabar is very expensive. The transport cost, giving the ghusl, quite expensive. You can deduct it from the state.
Secondly, if there are creditors, ensure that there are your creditors are paid, because the hadith of Rasulullah says, a person who they get a debt, he doesn't pay that debt in his qabr, that debt will make tawaf, circumambulate his head until the day of Qiyamah. My Ustad, Mufti Mutara Sahib, Dama Barakatuhum, when he used to perform Salatul Janazah, he will not stand until somebody hasn't taken the responsibility to pay the debt of the deceased. This is how strict my Ustad is. If nobody takes this responsibility, he doesn't perform. And I heard the Sunnah of Rasulullah. How serious it is. We take this lightly. We take it very lightly. Very serious matter. Then the third one, and this is what is important, and which you don't find in the Fiqh Kitab, is your tax. After you have deducted your kafan dafan, you have deducted the creditors, your tax. If there are tax arrears, especially the businessmen, who will pay for that? You got your estate duty, who will pay for that? If you fail to pay the VAT, who will pay for that? Keep in mind, it should not be that the tax is so heavy, you never make any tax estate planning, that you think you are living an empire for your family, they end up paying for you. So you've got to make proper tax planning. Very, very important. Pay 100, 200 pounds, go and get professional advice, especially if your estate is above 500,000 pounds. Make sure you go and get professional advice. Save yourself and your family from those problems. Then after that, you get bequest. Now, this is why I told you the difference between bequest and inheritance. Bequest is you give somebody up to one-third, Sharia allows you to give up to one-third of your net estate to a specific person who is not a legal heir. And this is very, 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 very important, brothers in Islam. The way I look at the community, when I was in South Africa, I make sure, I encourage my clients to make sure that they give something fi sabilillah in a Darul Uloom. Waqaf. Waqaf, the institution of Waqaf is dead. Nobody knows what is Waqaf today's time. Whereas if you go in Tariq, the Ottoman Empire did not need money, no tax. They were living in the Waqaf, only for the army. Go and read Tariq, you will see. Go and read the Tariq of Tunisia, you will understand. Read the Tariq of India, you will understand the role of Waqaf. Today we pay some Waqaf just for the masjid. No. It's a dynamic institution which the Ummah has buried. You must wake it up. Take it out of the qabr, the institution of Waqaf. That's another topic on its own. Or, if you haven't paid, you haven't been able to perform your hajj that was farz on you, or your salah, your psalm that you missed, this one third, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Even after your death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening the door to reconcile with you. One third, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, take this one third. This one third, if you haven't paid your zakat, pay. If you haven't made your hajj, make your hajj. Compensate for your shortcomings, for your duty towards me. Today what we doing? One third to SPCA or the London Zoo. This is what the people are doing. This one third is not given for those fancy things. It is to compensate for our shortcomings in our ibadat. Make some sawab jariya. Then after that we go in the law of inheritance. Now for us to be able to do justice to that, there are two things. One is to drop a will, and secondly to make proper tax planning and state planning. I told you early on. The will already, somebody was supposed to get the will, photocopy of the will, and this I'm going to end up on that now. Can you just distribute it and just go, no, this is mine. Somebody was supposed to do will. Anwar? Anabai? Jay? That's bad. I say that 3 days ago. That's really bad now. Anyway, I'm really sorry for that. And I'm really deceived with that also. Because you haven't seen a will in your life. You have an opportunity for those who see a will, to at least see a will in your life. Anyway, can you give me this? I'm just going through that because I just want you to have an idea what are the things to put in your will. Right. What is a will to start with? A will is the document. This is a will. It's a document that expresses the wish, your wish, what you want to do with your estate after your death. As this document has no life in it until you do not die. It's only after your death, then only it will have a weight. As long as you're alive, you can change it any time you want. Very important. The second point I want to say about the will, the ulama says there are two types of wills. One is farz and one is sunnah. A farz will, like I've quoted the ayah of the Quran, Kutiba alaykum, Allah has made it farz on you. If something is to be written in the will, it must be done. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet of Allah says, it is not appropriate for a Muslim to spend two nights without writing his will. Should there be something to be written? And very, very important, in the hadith I quoted from Mishkat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man mata ala wasiyatin, whoever dies and he has prepared the will, mata ala sabilin wa sunnatin, he has died on the right path and the right of sunnah and the path of sunnah. Wa mata ala tuqan wa shahadatin, and he has passed away as a muttaqi, as a God-fearing person, and as a shaheed. Look at the darja, brothers. Look at the darja Rasulullah sallam giving us by putting a small signature here. We can't appreciate it. Wa mata maghfuranna, and he is forgiven. He died completely forgiven. This is the beauty of understanding the law of wasiyah. So this is the will which is farz. The sunnah will, the ulama says, even though you don't owe anybody, no debt, nothing, but yet it is sunnah to draft a will to avoid inconvenience to society and your family. Look how fine the details the ulama ikram have gone. Even though you don't owe anybody, yet Sharia tells you draft a will to avoid inconvenience. So in a will, a few things that you got to put very, very rapidly. I'm going to go through that, then I'll open some session for question and answers. First of all, you're going to mention your name, you got to identify yourself and your marital status. Very, very important. If you make only nikah, you must say to Miss so and so to whom I'm married according to Islamic rights. Then your domicile. The law of domicile is very, very important, because there are what's called public international law, private international law. If you draft a will, say in Canada, you are a British citizen, you domicile here, which law will apply? Which law will regulate? Which tax policy will apply? This is why you must mention your domicile. It got an impact on private international law. After you have mentioned that, you must put a revocation clause. Because maybe in your youth, you were madly in love with somebody. And when you mad, love is blind, you just give everything to her. After 20 years, you realize, what you do now? She's not your wife. She'll get everything. So you must revoke all those things and put the date. Very important. Though the Wills Act doesn't tell you to put the date, put the date. Just in case you have to revoke something, the date will be approved for the court. The third one is you must mention who are your executors and trustees. I always advise people to put one or two or three. And not put and. I appoint Mr. So and so as my trustee or executor. Executor will be the person who will take charge of your estate until it reaches its dissolved, devolved to your heirs. One of the problems I had in South Africa, I put and. And believe me, one was staying in the North Pole, the other one in the South Pole, and they had to sign a document. You know what was that meaning? So don't put and, put all. This is a small advice I'm giving you, practical advice. So you got to appoint your executor, and you must give him what's called a power of assumption. That is, he doesn't have to pay any, give a security to the master of the High Court. I don't know how it works here. In South Africa, whoever is appointed as executor, because he's going to deal with a wealth which is not his, he has to give a security to the master of the High Court. I don't know whether you have this here, so you have to contact your lawyer. Then, your distribution of your estate, how you want it to do, to be done, first, cater for yourself. If you got zakat to pay, any rozas you haven't paid, or you want to make a sadaqah jariyah, you want to give darulum something for your sawab jariyah, you want to set up a waqf, up to one third of your net estate, you can make that. Then, you say, you want to do it according to Islamic law. Very, very important. And now this is where the problem comes in, when you're going to read that. If you say you want it to dissolve according to Islamic law, it's very good. But what will be the repercussion of this will? You remember I told you this 40% that you got to pay the government, the tax. This is where it comes to. Because, and this is where there is some ikhtilaf which I'm still busy discussing with some financiers.
haven't found a solution. It needs to be discussed with the muftis and the accountants as well, and the lawyers as well. It's quite a complicated matter for the case of England. I'm not going to go in the legal aspect of it. So if you stay according to Islamic law, what will happen? Your wife will get only 1/8. This will be exempted because inter-spouse there are no estate duty. But your child will have to pay, your daughter will have to pay, your father will have to pay, your mother will have to pay, whoever is receiving, they will have to pay for that. For this reason, that is what your tax planning comes into play. It's recommended you go and look for the brothers who are expert in that field. How to do it for the British scenario. Then of course, you can go further. What is important, I want you to understand, is when the concept of children. You see, with the war in Kashmir, in Bosnia, in Kosovo, many people have felt sorry for the children. And the only way to get them is to adopt the children. According to Sharia, there are 4 types of children. Right, legally speaking. The first one is your own children, your own blood. They will inherit, no problem. The second one is your stepchildren. You marry a second wife, she had children from her ex-husband. This child, stepchild, doesn't inherit. The third one is a foster child. That is, for example, your nephew. You don't have children. You want to cater for your nephew or your niece. Give him education, send him to college, everything. You call it fosterage. The third one is adopted child. This is haram. And yet many Muslims are doing it. Zaid radiallahu anhu, the Quran mentions it, not me. People were calling Zaid bin Muhammad. The ayah of the Quran once it is. Muhammad is not the father of any man among you. Because the purity of the blood relationship. You remember I mentioned early on the reason, the sabab, the cause for inheritance is blood relationship. Sharia wants to keep it pure. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could marry Zainab, who was a daughter, who was a wife of his adopted son. Should Zaid be his own son, Rasulullah would have not been able to marry Zainab. So understand these technicalities in Islamic law of inheritance. So there are 4 types. There's no adoption in Sharia. But if you adopt a child, according to the law, you're going to change the name of the child. The child cannot marry your own daughter. And there's a lot of things that are, that impact on your life. So keep this in mind about the law of adoption, fosterage, stepchildren, and biological children. There is another thing also, which is important, the fifth one I found in law, by the way. Illegitimate children. That's the fifth one. According to the law here, the illegitimate child can inherit. According to Sharia, no. He will inherit from the mother, not from the father. Now, there's a big brouhaha, the International Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is got to do with the United Nations. I haven't got time to go into this international convention. You got to read and see what is happening there. Right. Then you get the powers of the executor, you may give them. And then what is important here, in the case of England, how you want to be buried. I haven't mentioned it here. How you want to be buried. Very important. Mention it here. Because they can burn your body. We are Muslims. Need ghusl, kafan, a specific way to put you in the qabr, with dignity, etc. And also what is important is, mention it in your will. Please mention it in your will. I know what I'm telling you. That your body is not for experiments. The organs of your body is not for sale. That's a political issue. I don't want to go in jail, but I know what I'm saying. Right. There are certain countries that are taking the body. The state has an authority on your body, where they can take part of your body and sell it. There are laws on that. I don't want, it's a political issue, I don't want to deal with that. I'm not talking of England, other countries. Then of course, if there are minors, you must mention that it must, the, if you got minor children, you must not transfer his property to the guardian fund. Like in South Africa, the guardian fund will not keep the house or the business. They will sell it and convert it into cash and give 6% interest on that. In England, I don't know what is the law. So you've got to be careful of that. Mention that you don't want it to be transferred to the guardian fund. A trustee, you're going to incorporate to make a trust. And this will go in the trust. And the trustee will look after the child. And you must appoint who will be the guardian. Now the masla of guardian also is a very complicated masla in Sharia. It falls under wilaya. There is wilayatul hadana, wilayatul ijbar, the wilayatul manduq. There are so many types of guardianship in Sharia. This is not the forum for that. So you must mention who will be the guardian according to Islamic law. And of course you must sign it. Don't forget to sign it. And don't keep a long space here and sign at the bottom. Sign here. There was a case in South Africa. There were 13 centimeters between the last line of the will and the signature of the testator. The court rejected the will. Say, no, it's not valid will. So this is why I always advise people to put there. And you must have witnesses. Now, for a person to draft a will, according to British law, he must be at least 18 years of age. In South Africa, it's 16 years. And the witnesses, this is very, very important. Your wife or the executor must not be a witness here. If not, the will will not be valid. Make sure about it. So a person who is going to inherit from you or your executor must not sign it. Get somebody else to sign it who got nothing to do with your estate. Very important. And it must be a sane person who is in his senses, etc. So these are a few issues about the will that you must draft according to Sharia and try to get yourself a copy. And my personal advice to you is if you have 500,000 pounds of will estate, kindly pay 100, 200, 300 pounds, get professional advice. We are not qualified. Yesterday, I'll just give you one example, Brother Islam. Yesterday, I had to phone my brother about it. My brother is a chartered accountant. He's a member of the KPMG, one of the biggest firms in the world. When I come with the technicalities of this world, according to British law, my brother is an expert in offshore banking. He told me, Faisal, you know, I know it, but those questions are highly specialized. I'm not a tax expert. Chartered accountant. And don't talk about a chartered accountant investor. Another story altogether. Right? This is what I'm telling you. How complicated this matter is. Pay 200-300 pounds. Get professional advice. When you die, your children, your wife, make some dua for you also. And also, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being upheld. And this can be a zariah for us to get Jannah. Jannatul Firdaus. Amin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك سبحان ربك جزاكم الله خيرا